Welcome to the Bidwell Presbyterian Church Podcast. The church is located next to California State University, Chico. For updates on services, congregational care, and community outreach, please visit our website at bidwellpres.org. The following sermon, Love Everybody, Always, part of the series Beyond Limits, The Fruit of the Spirit in Your Life, was given by Pastor Henry Hansen on Sunday, June 18, 2023. May you experience God's grace and joy on the journey.
We are going to start a new series of messages today for 9 weeks, and it really dovetails quite well off of what we've been doing the previous 3 weeks. We had a series called The Church and the Power of the Holy Spirit, which was really about Pentecost. Pentecost happened 4 Sundays ago, and that's the day when the Holy Spirit arrived at the church. And we really focused on the church existing as a result of the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit birthed the church and gives it life, its meaning. And we did highlight that the Holy Spirit, therefore, is on tap at Bidwell. Bidwell has been alive for 155 years, and that's because of the power of the Holy Spirit and the faithfulness of God's people. Well, today we are looking at the fruit of the Spirit, and that is to place a focus more on the experience of the Spirit of God for the life of individual believers, how we experience the Holy Spirit and what it does in our lives from the point of view of Christian character. And I've been really struggling this week with having a good illustration. I thought about having, you know, like, I don't know, fruit salad or fruit bowl or something like that. The best thing I can come up with, this speaks to my heart, Fruity Pebbles. This is the breakfast of champions right here. Yes, this is going to be my dessert on Father's Day. It's going to be delightful. There is so much packed in here, you have no idea, because we've all struggled with getting all of our nutrients from fruits and vegetables in one serving. Look no further. Look no further. It's all right here, friends. You have lime, you have lemon, cherry, orange. It's like all the food groups, right? They're all in there. So it's a stretch. But in this series, we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits. That's what it says in Galatians 24. We are given the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So it's one fruit with all these different characteristics, if you will. So think of it as one serving and all these nutrients and all these good things given to you, except not in a box, but by the Spirit of the living God. So friends, we are going to read Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25. Let's hear the word of God for our lives. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Would you join me in prayer? Good and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of this day. We're thankful, O God, that we are met here by a perfect love. And it is a joy for us to call you our Heavenly Father, our divine, our perfect parent. We come here now to receive both grace and truth from you. So we ask that you would speak to every heart and mind, and that we would be not only met by your Spirit, but illumined by it. In Christ's powerful name we pray. Amen. Nine virtues in one fruit of the Holy Spirit, so we can exhibit Christ-like behavior in our lives. We just read the 9 different traits of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But before we delve too deeply into the specific one for today, which is the fruit of love, I want us to look a little bit about the kind of church that Paul was writing this letter to and the tension that he was living in. So he had, on the one hand, in this church in Galatia, law enforcers, and then on the other hand, he had law breakers. And the law enforcers were Jews who were converted to Christianity, who were still holding on to their Jewish faith. What they were doing was they were mixing and matching Christianity with Judaism. So they were advocating for circumcision, rituals like circumcision, strict adherence to the law, the Torah, and also things like kosher. And Paul was cautioning them against that, that one does not need to have strict adherence to any of those three things in order to be a Christian. On the other side, the other extreme, there were those who were lawbreakers. They viewed Jesus Christ more or less as death insurance. I have what I need to get to the other side when my time is up. Therefore, I can live however it is that I want. So he referred to this as living in the flesh. And this is not the skin and meat on your bones. He's talking about indulging the sin that lives in our lives, doesn't reign there, but lives there, and indulging it. So Paul here is trying to find a middle road here to meet both extremes, lawbreakers and law enforcers. And so what he presents to them is that they learn to walk by the Holy Spirit of God. And he does this with such great theological accuracy and precision. He's saying the key to all of this is not to be a law enforcer, follow the law so strictly, or rituals. You certainly don't want to be a lawbreaker. We need to keep in step with the Spirit of God, because through the Spirit of God, we receive Christ-like character into our lives. And the first trait that he lands on, or virtue, is the virtue of love in the fruit of the Spirit. And there's probably no more natural place you could start than love in Christianity. And all the other traits of the Spirit, the other 8, build off of love. We read this in 1 John chapter 4. Let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. If God so loved us, we ought to love one another. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. So there you have it. Christianity 101, right? It all starts with God's love, knowing that we are loved by God, fully known and fully loved. Therefore, we love one another. But I think when we hear the love, sometimes there can be a lot of confusion, especially cultural speaking. It can be diluted with, well, I think gobbledygook. What is it exactly we're talking about with love? And I want to spend the first part of this message talking about what love isn't, so that we're all clear on that. The first thing that love isn't, is that love isn't God. Love isn't God. God is love. So God is love, but the opposite is not true. Love is not God. Because if we make that statement, we can worship God. One of my critiques of modern liberalism and Christianity is a tendency to worship love as God, And what happens is we can place love first before God, and we can claim to want to be loving, but then we attach our own meaning to it, our own cultural meaning to it, if we're not careful. It must begin with God. Love is not God. We do not worship God. If I was to make a critique the other direction, in the more conservative realm of Christianity, it would be being preoccupied with truth and righteousness at the expense of total neglect of love, which is to miss one of the greatest arguments, truths of the Bible, right? Of love of God and love of one another. But the main thing we need to remember is that love is not God. God is love, but the opposite is not true. When we know of God's love primarily through his sacrifice on the cross through Jesus Christ. But second, and love isn't just a feeling. Love is not a feeling. And sometimes we can get that message culturally that love is a feeling, or it is a chain reaction in our body of chemicals. Love isn't merely a feeling. Love is primarily, for us in Christianity, it is a behavior. Now, if all of us did the things that we felt like doing in relationships, I think we'd probably be in a lot of trouble. I mean, dads, do you always feel like loving your children? Always? I have those mornings when I'm getting my three children out the door, right? Getting them out of bed, making them breakfast. Then we're halfway to school. Two out of them, three of them say, "Oops, Dad, I forgot my lunch." That is not a loving moment for me when I operate from my natural self. Do you know how much time I spent on making that lunch while getting them all corralled out the door, right? If we went by how we felt all the time, we would not be terribly loving people. So love cannot merely be a feeling. Love is more about behavior. And we know in romantic love and family love and in relationships that our behavior reinforces a feeling in us, but the feeling can go away. It requires work to have loving relationships. The last love isn't I want to present to us is that knowing isn't half the battle when it comes to love. And just so you understand my analogy a little bit of this, it took a while for the first service. I hope you understand it better at this one. Did you guys all see G.I. Joe? See, I need more heads to nod when I say that. Okay. Remember, now you know and knowing isn't half the battle. Oh, this is so hard. Now I have to explain it. So when there'd be like a young boy or a young girl who would walk through the middle of the street, and then G.I. Joe would come and say, "You're supposed to walk through the crosswalk," and then the young boy or girl would say, "And now I know." And G.I. Joe would say, "And knowing is half the battle." Now you guys know. Okay. Golly, I just... sad. I'm in a time where Ray, help me out. Get Ray up here. So knowing isn't half the battle when it comes to deep truths in our lives. We need to have more than just knowing. I know love is important. I know I'm supposed to love my wife and my family and my closest friends. But it's not half the battle. John Mark Comer says that really knowing is about 10% of the battle. That we need to work on things like love in our lives, that we have to be really intentional. And friends, for us to be loving people in our lives, to have this fruit of the Spirit at work in our lives, I believe first and foremost, we need to know how deeply we are loved by God in our heads and in our hearts and in our hands. And I also want to go a step further by saying in our bones, we need to know we are loved by God so deeply such that we ourselves become love. Tim Keller says this. He says, "To be loved but not known is superficial. To be known but not loved is our nightmare. Only Jesus knows us to the bottom and loves us to the sky." I love that. Only Jesus knows us to the bottom and he loves us to the sky. So friends, it's so important for us as we seek to love other people in our lives that we have love in our bones, our head, our heart, and our hands, but also in our bones, that God knows us to the bottom and he loves us to the sky. But now just briefly, I do want to turn back to Fruity Pebbles for a minute. And the reason is, is that we are going to need a great big serving of the Holy Spirit of God in order for us to get all that we need to be able to love well. We need a serving of the Holy Spirit to be able to love well in our lives. And we are titling this sermon series, Beyond Limits, The Fruit of the Spirit in Your Life. And that's because, friends, we live in a world of strife and envy and jealousy, revenge. We live in a very much an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth kind of world. And for us to be able to love with Christ-likeness, we are going to need God's Spirit to infuse our hearts to do this well. And I want to go with a working definition for this morning. Now that I have described what love isn't, what love is. This is from John Mark Comer, the millennial scholar and pastor. Love is the decision of the will and of the heart to put another person's good ahead of your own, to sacrifice your good on the altar of another person's flourishing. I'm going to read that again. Love is the decision of the will and of the heart to put another person's good ahead of your own, to sacrifice your good on the altar of another person's flourishing. And friends, that's the kind of love that we receive through God's love in Jesus Christ, a God that puts his good ahead of our own, who makes a sacrifice, who offers his life on the altar for our own flourishing. For the rest of our time here, I want to introduce to you an author that many of you may have heard of before. He's written a couple of books. He's become very prolific in his writing. His name is Bob Goff, and he is a lawyer by trade. He's a college professor at Pepperdine University. He's adjunct there. He's written a lot of books. He's a motivational speaker. He's also a diplomat in Uganda. And two of my favorite books that he's written are called Love Does, and most especially one called Love Everybody Always. And I want to share a story by him. Before I do that, I want to give you a little sampling of his book, Love Everybody Always, with some of these references. He says this, I'm trying to resist the bait that darkness offers me every day to trade kindness for rightness. I just love that one. We so need it in our day. Jesus talked to his friends a lot about how we should identify ourselves. He said it wouldn't be what we said we believed or all the good we hope to do someday. Nope. He said we would identify ourselves simply by how we love people. It's tempting to think there is more to it, but there's not. Love isn't something we fall into. Love is someone we become. Jesus told his friends we weren't supposed to spend our lives building castles. He said he wanted us to build a kingdom. And there's a big difference between building a castle and building a kingdom. You see, castles have moats to keep creepy people out, but kingdoms have bridges to let everyone in. Castles have dungeons for people who have messed up, but kingdoms have grace. We make loving people a lot more complicated than Jesus did. Every time I try to protect myself by telling somebody about one of my opinions, God whispers to me and asks about my heart. Why are you so afraid? Who are you trying to impress? Am I really so insecure that I surround myself only with people who agree with me? When people are flat wrong, why do I appoint myself the sheriff to straighten them out? Burning down other people's opinions doesn't make us right. It makes us arsonists. My favorite. When joy is a habit, love is a reflex. Love everybody always. It's this simple. I want people to meet you and me and feel like they just met everyone in heaven. How's that for a vision of the Christian life? That when God meets you and me, when Christ meets you and me, it's as though when other people meet you and me, it's as though they met everyone in heaven. And Goff has embodied these truths in his life, and the books that he has authored are about this really magnanimous life that he has led by applying Christianity in third and word and thought and deed, and being as intentional as he can and loving everybody always. And I want to close with this story that he tells in that book, and I'm going to read this to you in his own words, because the way he tells it is so helpful. I travel a lot and had passed by Adrian at the front of the airport security line a dozen times over the course of a few weeks. Adrian worked at the airport in San Diego. He stood at the front of a long line of often anxious, angry, and frustrated people waiting to get through security. Most mornings, the line stretched like a giant snake out of the door of the airport. Adrian worked for the TSA and wore a uniform two sizes too big for him. His job was to check IDs to see if people were who they said they were. Each time, I noticed something special about him. No matter the angry stares, crumpled faces, and sharp comments on who he met, Adrian always treated them with love and respect. The people in line could have been distracted by the events in their lives, frustrated by the wait, sad at leaving, or excited about arriving. It didn't matter to Adrian. He greeted everybody with his quiet and sincere brand of love, which made things somehow better. The person I observed from afar each week fascinated me, and I knew I wanted to meet him. Nearing the front of the line one day, I decided I would thank this kind man for what he did each day, and in particular for the way he welcomed strangers like me each morning. When I got to the front of the line, I reached out my hand as I handed my ID to him with my left. "Hi, I'm Bob," I said. "I've passed by you a dozen times, and I just want to thank you for the way you treat each person in line. It's really amazing. The way you treat people reminds me a lot of the way Jesus loved." Small man looked up slowly from my driver's license and handed it back to me as if it were his. He didn't say a word, but I could see his eyes well up. He took a couple of small steps toward me, and he wrapped his arms around me and put his head on my chest. "I'm Adrian," he said into my sweater. I'll admit it was more than a little awkward, but there we stood, and I was already looking forward to my next trip to the airport and the next chance to learn a little bit more about him. A few days later, I got my chance. During our next 3 minutes together, I found out about Adrian's wife over 40 years, Patricia. On following trips, I found out about Adrian's son, a daughter, a grandchild, a brother, and a previous career he had with Aeromexico as an electrician. We began meeting at my house to talk about life and love and Jesus. Adrian was saving up money for a down payment on a small house. At one of our three-minute meetings, Adrian updated me on his dream house. He saved up enough money and thought he had found the perfect one. It would be modest by most standards, but the way Adrian described it, it was as grand as any castle in England. There was a twinkle in his eye when he spoke. No mansion owner would have been prouder. As the line moved, we shouted over people's heads to stretch our 3 minutes into four or five. Adrian had to jump as he shouted out the last details over the heads of two bald guys. He was bursting with pride. "I'm getting the house, I'm getting the house," he shouted with his small arms waving over his head. I waved my arms over my head too. Someone in the line cheered for him. The person standing next in line in front of him gave him a hug. Love and unbridled anticipation are contagious in this way. Over the course of the next several dozen trips to the airport, I learned Patricia loved the house Adrian had purchased, and Patricia was on her way to move in. He beamed as he talked about what he'd accomplished. I was so proud of him. I felt like I was getting a house too. Then one day, I got a call from Patricia. "Adrian's gone." "Where did he go?" "Died today." When I heard those words, I was stopped by a wave of confusion. How could this be? You see, Adrian had become a close friend of mine. He was particularly special to me because we built our years-long friendship just 3 minutes at a time. And that's all that love takes. So I hope that that story sank into your mind, into your heart, into your soul, the way that it did me when I first read it. And I just love this whole vision in life of love just taking 3 minutes at a time. And there's another section in the book where Bob Goff says, in some cases, we just have to spend 30 seconds at a time loving, because sometimes love can be so hard for us, depending on the case. I mean, if you think about how challenging it can be sometimes in our very busy and hurried lives, and we all have a lot going on, to stop and to really zero in, to suspend all judgment from whatever they're saying, to not think about the next way you're going to respond, to not think about how you're going to possibly even upstage what they just said about your awesome whatever you just had, your vacation or your promotion or whatever it is in your life you want to share. Whatever, all these things that can get in the way of us loving can be very, very challenging for us. But if we can love, Goff argues, just 30 seconds at a time, if we can practice loving, of setting other people aside and listening well. And you've heard me talk a lot about this the last several weeks in our series that we had on Pentecost and even the series before, that right now, this is so important for us. I believe for an apologetic to Christianity, of a defense for the importance of Christianity, of loving well, and also in this loneliness epidemic that we are in right now. 55% of Americans feel lonely. So how are we doing at the thing we're supposed to be known for best, which is loving and loving well? How does that look in your life? Are there others right now that you're having a difficult time being in community with? Maybe what you've chosen to do is avoid them altogether. They're too difficult. And sometimes having a healthy boundary and healthy space with others can be helpful because they're toxic and they can be very damaging. I'm not arguing against boundaries here, hear me? But friends, we are called to love and to love well. That's what we are supposed to be known for. We serve a God who knows us to the bottom and loves us to the sky. How are we doing in knowing and loving others in our own lives? Dads, day for you. Happy Father's Day. How are you doing at loving yours right now? Loving those kids. Dads, reminder, you're living the good old days now. Don't miss out on a single moment. Take it in. Live it out. Love well. Know them to the bottom. Love them to the sky. It's true for all parents. Grandparents, you're a grandparent. Enjoy these amazing golden years of doing that. But friends, outside of our family unit, which can be especially hard, how are we knowing people? How are we noticing people? How are we loving well, if just 30 seconds at a time, if not 3 minutes at a time? The first trait here of the fruit of the Spirit is love. Let's be dedicated to loving everybody, always. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank God in Christ, we give you thanks and praise for voices like Bob Goff's and testimonies like his. We can reflect on for our own lives, and most importantly, we thank you for Paul's letter to the Galatians. And in every church, you can have law enforcers and you can have lawbreakers. And so we need the Spirit of God to live out this tension. We need the ministry of the Spirit. And so we invite that ministry into our lives and into our weeks. And pray for each dad here that they would feel celebrated and loved today. Pray for those here who struggle in their relationship with their dad, that they would be ministered to, and even healed by your Spirit. I pray really for all of us this week in those difficult conversations, those people we struggle with who make life so difficult. Help us to know and to love well in those moments, God. Help us to be reminded that we are known to the bottom and loved to the sky. And may that gentle reminder by your Spirit help us to love well. Always. Amen.